Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the You Can Do This Quick Clip Series. These brief interviews are designed to give you one new idea that offers one new choice and one new action to help you move forward in your life after trauma. And now, here's your host, Michelle Rosenthal.
So I have with me today one of my favorite interview guests, frankly, because I've interviewed Dr. Suzanne Phillips before on Changing Direction Radio, and one of the things that I love about her is the way she's very grounded in practical things and very in touch with the emotional side of overcoming trauma. So today I have with me Dr. Suzanne Phillips. She is a licensed psychologist, psychoanalyst, diplomat in group psychology, and a certified group therapist. Her most recent book is Healing Together, A Couple's Guide to Coping with Trauma and Post-Traumatic Stress. She is a weekly blogger for Psych Central, and Dr. Phillips hosts her own weekly radio show and podcast called Psych Up on Kasozo Radio, which is also broadcast live on WMIQ 1450 AM in Michigan. And today I am asking Dr. Phillips this question. People face many kinds of trauma in life, from the traumatic loss of a loved one to the loss of home and community after natural disasters to the plethora of traumas that we could just list forever and ever. But Dr. Phillips, when we speak of recovery, do we ever get over it or do we just get on with it?
Michelle, it's such a good question. You know, the journey from trauma to recovery and healing is neither predictable nor time-sensitive, and anyone who's done it knows that. And in some ways, I'm going to answer the question by saying we do both of those things, and we need to do both at the same time. We get over it, and we get on with it, because one makes the other possible. That is, as we're getting on with it in small steps, we're starting to get over it. And as we get over it, we're better able to get on with it. Now, let me give you an example. So one little third-grade boy, he was one of the some 1,400 children who lost a dad after 9/11, said to his mom very soon after, and I should say very soon after, most people don't feel like they can ever get over it, and they certainly can't get on with it. So this little guy says to his mom, "How will I ever play baseball again? Dad won't be on the field. Dad's got to stand there for me to play." And the mom said, feeling herself so bereft, she said, "Well, I'll be on the field." And he said, "Well, you don't know baseball. I don't want you to be the one on the field." And she said, "Well, you know what? We're gonna see if we can get the coach to help, and I'll try to." Well, this little guy did get on it, and he got on with it. And he not only went on to play in middle school, he went on to play in high school, and he had a scholarship for college. But this is a kind of a complicated journey, and even as we're getting on with it, we're still working on getting over it. So when he was heading to college, he told his mom, kind of a quiet teenager, "By the way, I won't be telling anybody that I'm a 9/11 kid. I'm not telling anybody the story about what happened. I'm not going through that." She said, okay, but she knew that he was having a little bit of trouble in college. He was kind of an aloof kid, didn't make many friends, didn't warm up too much to his roommate, and then something happened. His roommate's dad died in a tragic, sudden car accident, and in the week or so after that, the roommate said to this young man, "Nobody really understands what I've been through, what it's like to have a dad one day and not have him the next." And our young fellow said, "I know about that." And he really told the story of 9/11 and how young he had been and what that meant. And in so doing, it's part of the way we do get over and get on with trauma. He narrated his healing. He connected with someone else whose shoes he had walked in much earlier. And an interesting thing happened. He really made a very good friend, closer than he had all those years before. And the long story is that that young man's a firefighter today. And in some ways, that's the other part of what he did in getting over it. He identified with the dad he had lost, meaning he had become an enduring presence to him. So, Michelle, the important part is to know that we're getting on with it, and in so doing, we're getting over it. And when we say getting over it, it's really important that we recognize recovery and healing from trauma. It never means forgetting. It doesn't mean not having strong feelings, crying on the anniversary event, thinking of someone we love or something we used to do. In the aftermath of losing someone you love or being seriously injured, recovery means remembering and feeling in a way that doesn't obscure your identity, in a way that allows you to develop a new identity, in a way that allows you to have a life that's not totally directed by the trauma, but a life that really moves on, that's capable of happiness and hope and love and laughter. So when we think about recovery, we're not thinking about never crying again or never remembering, but we are thinking about going on with life.
Dr. Phillips, I love that whole idea, and you just laid it out so beautifully. We only have about a little bit more than a minute left, and I just wanted to ask you this one follow-up question. The process that you're talking about and the redefinition of recovery, really, that you're talking about is still hard. It's still painful. So looking at it in this new way makes sense and can give us direction. What's your favorite tip or tool that you offer your clients in terms of being able to stay on the right track even though there are moments where you still cry or still feel upset?
Okay, two things I would say. In the aftermath of trauma, sometimes we forget our own resiliency. And our resiliency traits belong to us. They're often our you know, the gifts we're given, whether it's intelligence or athleticism or creativity or a love of music, they belong to you. They are very important in recovery, and they are things that we lean on. The other thing that connects with that is, Michelle, we don't look for happiness in the future as gleeful celebration. What Viktor Frankl tells us is that we look for a meaningful life and we look for happiness in the moment, in the hour, in the day. We take each day as a gift and we try to make it meaningful for us. We try to give back if we can, which is a wonderful way to feel fueled and to feel happy. And we really treasure our resiliency, and that's what we take with us.
Perfect. My guest today has been Dr. Suzanne Phillips, the author of, well, the co-author of several books, her most recent one being Healing Together, A Couple's Guide to Coping with Trauma and Post-Traumatic Stress, and the host of Psych Up on Kosozo Radio. Dr. Phillips, if someone wanted to find out more about you, where would they do that?
Okay, they could go to my website, which is www.couplesaftertrauma.com. Or they would go to PsychUp, Google PsychUp, Healing Together, Suzanne Phillips. There's over 300 blogs. Or they can go to Kosozo Radio, PsychUp, Suzanne Phillips.
For more podcasts and quick clips, visit YourLifeAfterTrauma.com.